Good morning, Grace. It is good to see you guys. Happy Easter. Happy Resurrection Day. He is risen. Oh, I got like three people, you know. Come on, you people who've been in church a little bit, right? He is risen. You're supposed to respond with, "He is risen indeed." Right? I'll do it again. He is risen. Amen. Amen. It's a good day. It's sunny out. I told the first service. I walked out right after the service started. I actually forgot my Bible in the back. Go figure. You know, you need a Bible to preach. But the birds were singing. The sun was shining. It was just a beautiful day. And then we sugared up outside. You guys who didn't come at 10:15 missed all the sugar. So if I'm a little bouncy, don't worry. Of course, if I crash a little bit, you know, then you know why. So, but good days, good stuff. God is good. We love spring. We love, you know, for people to come and just glad that you're here with us. So over the last 2 months, we've been walking through the book of Galatians here at our church. And so it's been just a great study. And just to bring you up to speed, if you haven't been kind of tracking with that, either online or in the house. So we've done almost three chapters. So we're going to be in chapter three today. But we've, you know, halfway through the book. And basically, you know, in the simplest form, the message of Galatians is that that you can only be saved, that you can only be made right with God by grace through faith. That's it. By grace through faith, not from works. I mean, that's the prominent message of Galatians. Not through anything that we do, right? By grace through faith, not by our tries, not by our workings, not by our desires to and moral efforts to be good, not anything else, not on any other basics except by grace through faith. And so, you know, many of us would agree with that, right? Many of us would be like, yes, that's where it is, you know, in our church, that's, we understand that. And yet, I do believe that we're tempted at times to kind of be like the Judaizers were. So what's happening is, in the region of Galatia, these Judaizers have come in, these men from, really probably from Jerusalem, and they would say that, yes, Jesus is the Messiah, and you do need to believe in that, but you've got to also follow the law. You also have to obey the law. You have to do all the traditions of the law. You have to do the dietary restrictions. You have to be circumcised. You have to do the sacrificial systems. You have to do all of that also, right? And so that's what they were doing. They would not deny Jesus, but they would say you also have to do this. And I think for many of us, we're tempted at times to kind of bring in that understanding and that message, right? You know, by grace through faith, and yet we preach and we live too often that our moral intentions, that our desires to try to be good, these works that we try to do really need to be done in order to be accepted by God, in order to make us right with Him before Him. Now, it's Easter, right? Today's Easter. It's a great day. It's a fun day, right? It's a day where we come and we celebrate, and Easter is about new life, and it's about gathering together. It's about, I mean, you know, pastors wearing a tie for the first time in 12 months. You know, yeah, some of you are like, finally he's wearing a tie. You know, I got my shirt tucked in today even. You know, I'm like all out. Like, this is all out, right, for today. Right, I mean, I'm like going at it, right? And some of you are here, and some of you are looking good. Some of you are coordinated, and like you got your family going on. You bought new dresses or new outfits, and it's just a fun time. And so we get that. We get the excitement and the upbeatness. But sometimes it becomes just about the festival, and sometimes it becomes just about the celebration and the new life, and it really becomes what we've made it in our world today, which is really just a spring festival where we celebrate that things are growing outside. And so, you know, some places in the country, flowers have popped up, not here probably quite yet, but they're coming, right? I mean, they're coming, right? The flowers are going to pop soon, and new life, and just the longer days, and the warmth is coming, praise God. We were outside on the lawn doing fellowship this morning. Woof. I mean, like, you know, stuff is, and we celebrate that, and we like that, but too often we make it just about that, like the world. And so if we can get past the festival, if we can get past the snacks, you know, I love the snacks. I had a bunch this morning, like I said, a little hyped up. If we can get past even the dinner and the family time, now all that's great. All that's great. I mean, I'm not saying to dump it all, but, you know, but if we can get past that, I think it brings us to some questions about why is this all important? I mean, why is Easter such a big day? Why do we come? Why do we dress up? Why do people come to church? Why do people check in at these times? Why is this so important? You know, and again, beyond that. And so this morning we want to ask some questions, and I think Galatians will answer that question. So that's why we're staying in that. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to open up to the book of Galatians chapter 3. So, you know, you can have a Bible if you've got it on your device. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like an actual paper thing, underneath every single row, there's Bibles. So on the very ends of every row, there's tissues, in case you're crying today. And then on the second seat in are Bibles, all right? So you can take that, open that up. If you don't have a Bible at home, you can keep it. You know, it's for you. It's for you to keep and to have and to take with you. It can be our Easter gift to you. So take that. So Galatians. So remember what we were talking about a little bit earlier, right? We're going to ask some questions. Remember, we were saying by grace through faith. By grace through faith. Not by your works, not by doing something good, not by doing something religious, not by some religious symbol or something like that, but by grace through faith alone. And I think sometimes we wonder, how can it be that my good deeds don't earn me anything before God, right? I mean, you know, at least like maybe partial credit, right? You know, we like this, stuff in school. I love math, right? Because math, you don't even have to get the final answer right. But if you do some things right, they'll give you partial credit. You're like, yeah, at least I got something, right? And we're like, well, why can't there be something before God? Why can't it be some sort of credit, some sort of something? It just doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem fair that for my efforts and for the good things that I actually do, wouldn't they get me someplace before God? Wouldn't that earn me something? So that's our first question. Our first question this morning is, do my good deeds earn anything before God? Do my good deeds. So Galatians chapter 3, let's see what Paul says to this. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul says this. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. I wish you guys were like that. You didn't want to leave the service. We get done, you're like, man, he went way too long. Let's go. So anyway, sorry. Let me read that again. 10, right? For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. So the New International Version, so we use the New American Standard here, says it this way, maybe a little bit clearer. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. In other words, if you're relying on your good deeds to save you, you know, in other words, that I get to do something or I have some sort of religious thing that I do or something to make me acceptable before God that I can do physically, he says, you're under a curse. You're under a curse. Now, that's a harsh word, right? I mean, that's a harsh word, under a curse. And it is a harsh word. If you in the Hebrew, it means to be devoted to destruction. And in the Greek, it means the same, devoted to destruction or doomed. I mean, that's a strong word. Doesn't sound good. It isn't good. And I think we want to say, wait a minute. You mean like I'm going to do something good or try to please God in some way, and really all in the end is that's just a bunch of destruction or a bunch of doom for me? How could that be? Well, look at the last half of that verse. He says, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. In other words, if you don't follow it all, then it's no good. There's no partial credit in God's system, right? There's no partial credit that, well, I'll give you some, but you get a few taken off. No, no, no. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 that if you commit one sin, you are guilty, and you are guilty enough to go to hell. One sin. Why? Because it's an all or nothing deal. See, it's an all or nothing deal. Either the law says, and by the way, get this, I mean, so these Judaizers who are pointing back to the law itself says that unless you can keep it perfectly, you're cursed. You're doomed. So get this, to the religious, God says the very law that you are looking toward to make you righteous teaches you that you can't be righteous by following the law because you can't keep it all. You can't keep it all. And listen, if we're honest, we know that, right? We know we mess up. We know we sin. We know we screw up. I mean, we have to apologize. There are things that we do. There are things that we know we should do that we don't do, right? We mess up. We sin. We know that. Paul says we all sin. Romans 3:23 says we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. All of us. There's not one of us who is good. There's not one of us who is be able to keep it all perfectly. Not one of us. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how good your grandmother is, right? I don't care how good they are. We all screw up. We all mess up. We all sin. We all sin. And you know what? You say, well, wait, doesn't that earn me anything before God? It does. But this is what it earns. Romans 6:23 says that you get something, but it's for your sin, and the wages of sin is death. In other words, curse. Curse. God's wrath. One pastor, actually, it was I listened to a sermon, and he quoted another pastor. I don't know who it was from. He said this. He said, if we read the Ten Commandments, and we should, right? If we read the Ten Commandments, we would have to stop at each one and say, I have broken this commandment. And we know this because we know that the law is spiritual. It's not just physical. So it's not just about my physical acts. It's about my heart, and it's about my thoughts and my intentions, my desires, my imaginations, my motives. He says, surely you will have to cry guilty, guilty in every way, guilty, guilty every day. Outside of Jesus Christ, we have failed him, and we are under a curse. Matter of fact, Paul even shows that the Old Testament shows that our righteousness doesn't come by the works of the law. It comes by faith. Look at the next verse, verse 11. He says, but now no one is justified by the law before God. I'm sorry, now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. The verse in 10 was from Deuteronomy 17. This is from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Right? So Paul shows that the Old Testament says that it's by faith. It's not by law. It's not by keeping the law, because you can't keep the law. You can't do it. So it's by faith. And so I get, maybe you go, well, wait a second. Is faith really enough? Is faith really all I need? Is that all I need? All I need is faith? And maybe we begin to think, well, can it be a mixture, like a little bit of faith and then a little bit of works? I mean, can it be like, I know I got to believe. That's what the Judaizers did, right? They said, yeah, you got to believe in Jesus. You got to realize that he's the Messiah, the one that came to fulfill the law and all those things. But then you have to be good too, right? You have to do something to do that. Right? That's what they would say. They would say, be good. I mean, listen, doesn't God want good people with him? Doesn't he? Doesn't God want people who are good to be with him? But when we say that, what we're saying is that the cross is not sufficient. That the cross is not enough. The cross will only take you so far. I mean, it kind of gets you to a place, but then you have to cross the finish line yourself. That you have to get there yourself by doing something or by being something or by practicing something in religion. You have to do something to get there. Well, look at Paul's answer in verse 12. He says, however, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he says, he who practices them shall live by them. So he says this basically, the law and faith are not partners. Like you can't like combine them together and that's what you get. As a matter of fact, they are mutually exclusive. And maybe a simple way kind of to break this down to understanding is this, that you have to choose your system, if you will. It's one or the other. It can't be both end. It's either one or the other. You can't have both. So either it's the law. In other words, I'm going to count on the law to make me holy. I'm going to count on my fact that I'm going to be right before God by living up to the standard of the law. And the problem with that is, right, none of us live up to that standard perfectly. We all fail. We all fail, and so therefore, curse. So it's either that system of law or that I kind of count on myself and try to work really hard and try to do really good things and work and work and work and work and work, but it's always going to come up short. Or it's this, if I can say, system of faith, where the reality is my works don't earn me anything. I've tried hard and I failed. I failed. I mean, part of my salvation testimony is the fact that, I mean, I kind of came to this place where I began to, to recognize Jesus. My eyes were being opened to Christ, but I still thought I had to do good works. I was raised in religion, and so I thought, well, I just got to be a better person. You know, now I can see Jesus better, so I'm going to kind of go after him, but I got to try hard. And my problem is, which is what your problem, I failed. I mean, I would be good for a little while. You know, there'd be things that I'd be convicted of, and then I'd be like, oh, I'm going to get better at this. I'm going to do better so that God will be happy with me. And then I fail. And I trip and I struggle. And what I came to, was, God, I got nothing to bring you. I got nothing. I got nothing to bring you. None of my works are going to make you like, oh, finally. Oh, yeah, now you're doing better. I like you now. Now I'll accept you. And so you come to this place and you say, oh, I got nothing to give God. So what's left? All that's left is his mercy. And all that's left is his grace. And all that's left is falling upon his mercy and grace and to believe in him alone. To believe in him alone, not in myself, not in anything. So it's not by this law, it's not by these works, it's not by this trying, it's not by this striving. It's by faith alone. It's through faith alone. That's all I got left. All I got is just to fall upon him and to believe in him. So maybe our next question is, well, all right, faith in what? All right, and because faith is kind of left, has been gutted, the word faith. It's kind of like love, you know. So the word love has kind of been gutted too, right? So I'll say to my wife, I'll look deeply into her eyes, and I say, I love you with my whole heart. And I mean it, I do. I love my wife with my whole heart, with everything. And then I'll say to my boys, I love you. I love you with everything, guys. I just love you. And then we'll go out to dinner. I'll eat a steak. And I'll go, oh, I love this steak. It's a good steak. If you saw me out at the table today, you know, I was like, oh, I love that brownie. That was a good brownie. That was a good cupcake. So I had something called crinkle today. Like, I never had crinkle before. Roxanne made it. I was like, oh, I love that. right? I love the Yankees. I love the Yankees, right? They're my favorite team, right? We're about to get a puppy. The McCartys are going to have a puppy again in their house. It's been like 5 years, and we're going to get him at the end of this month, or her at the end of this month. And I guarantee when she comes in, there's going to be a lot of puppy love happening. Right? We love this dog. So get this. I'll go to Danielle. I love you, baby. I love you with my whole heart. And then I'll look at this dog, and I go, I love you. What's the meaning there? We've lost it, right? Same thing with faith. Yeah, we have faith in a lot of things, right? We have to have faith in God. You know, and then we have faith in the doctors, and then we have faith that our team is going to win the big game, and then we have faith that I might not get sick or something like, you know, I mean, so we have this faith. I mean, I tell you, you use faith every day. When you drove here, you operated your car in faith that when you pressed on the brake pedal, it would stop you. You didn't even think about it. You trusted that system that it would stop you. So sometimes this faith is, or this talk about faith can be lost because we really don't know what we're talking about. Faith in what? All right, so this is important because this is the heart of the gospel. So if you haven't been listening, now's the time to check in. All right? Now's the time to check in. Look at verse 13. He says this. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So get this, where there is sin, there is curse. Where there is sin, there is curse. God can't just be like, well, you know, I like you today, or you're really cute, or you really tried hard, and so I'm going to give you extra credit and get you above the line. There is none of that. See, God's a holy and righteous God. He does want good people. He can't have sin in his presence. He can't. He can't. And so Jesus, knowing that we all fail and therefore curse is upon us, Jesus took on flesh and he came and he lived on this earth and he lived on this earth righteously. In other words, he did not commit any sin so that curse would not be upon him. There was no curse on him because he lived in perfection. He lived in perfection. No sin at all. And yet, by his love and his grace, he chose to become a curse for us. It says, everyone who hangs on a tree is cursed. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God. So that we might become. On the cross, Jesus took our curse. And I love what this a pastor named Bo Hughes said. I love the way he put this. He said, you know, Christ took our curse, right? So he took our sin and he took our wrath towards sin. He took it all. He took it all upon himself. So think about this. Every thought, every action, every evil intent, everything that we've done wrong, everything we've not done right, and the wrath that was due that, Jesus took upon himself. He took upon himself our sin. Every horrific thing that we've ever done, and every little white lie. Everything bad and everything not good, but just not that bad. Jesus took upon himself. And he took our wrath in our place. Troy talked about the other night, on Friday night, about the fact of what happened to Jesus on that Friday. That he was beat. He was whipped. He was punched. He was beat with a staff. He was He was mutilated in some ways. He had a crown of thorns placed on his head. He had nails stuck in him and hung him on a cross. And Troy brought out, right, that the scripture says he was really unrecognizable even. If you were to see him, you'd be like, is that Jesus? Because he was beaten so badly. He was mutilated so badly. He was broken for us. And we contemplate that and we think about that. And we do think about that on Good Friday especially. And we think about what Christ did for us. But think about this. As bad as that is, as horrific as that is, and it is, all right, that is horrific. In a place we marvel at that, and we should. Even more horrific is the fact that Jesus received the wrath of God that was due sin upon him. That the full wrath, God didn't go easy on Jesus. Matter of fact, that's why he was beaten so bad, because he fully gave him over to that all. And when Satan had a shot, man, he took every shot he could. And Jesus had the full wrath of God poured out on him. So much so that even the earth became dark. And Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? This separation between the second person of the Trinity and the first person of the Trinity. I don't even fully grab all that. But the wrath of God was upon him. He says in scriptures, we talked about Friday or last week, I forget now, but he became a propitiation. He satisfied God's wrath. He took all the wrath of God upon him. That's horrific. But he did that for us. Remember, again, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, to take our sin for us. That's what Jesus did for us. Jesus redeemed us from the curse by becoming a curse for us. And so faith is not faith generally, but it's faith in that work alone. It is faith in what Jesus Christ has done alone. Not in myself, not in my ability, not in my somehow I'm going to do really good today so that maybe God will be happy with me and I'll earn some favor with him. It's nothing of that. I got nothing to bring to God. It is all about what Jesus Christ has done for me. It is all about the fact that he took my sin upon himself. And when you have faith in that, when you trust in him alone, when you believe on him alone, this beautiful, mysterious thing happens. He, in that moment, takes our sin, and we take his righteousness. We take his righteousness. We become righteous. Matter of fact, scripture calls us that when we have faith in Jesus, we become pure and holy and righteous. How many of us have lived pure, holy, and righteous lives? None of us. And yet God calls us pure and holy, not because we tried really hard, but because the blood of Jesus through faith has been applied to us so that when God views us, he doesn't see our sin. He doesn't see our failure. He sees the blood of Jesus Christ and the righteousness of Christ applied to us. That alone. He sees that righteousness and that holiness that is of Christ. And it's to my account. And that's what Christ sees. That's by faith in him. Now, it's interesting. It's Easter, and we celebrate the resurrection of Easter, and I've given almost a whole message, and I've not even talked about the resurrection, have I? Not even talked about it. But, so the question might be, is it really important? Is it just a festival? Is it really important? I said on Friday, I said, Easter Sunday is empty without Good Friday. If there's no Good Friday, then it's just a festival. Then it's just a festival of spring and new life and things like that. But understand this. If there's no Easter Sunday, if there's no resurrection, then Friday is empty. And Friday means nothing. So get this, among other things, and I get there are other things to talk about why the resurrection is important, but today we're going to talk about two vital ways that it is. So the question might be, what does the resurrection mean? What does the resurrection mean? Two things. The first thing it means, and it's vital, is that Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross was sufficient. In other words, that's all that was needed to there. And because of that sufficient sacrifice on the cross, we can be forgiven of our sins and through faith in Jesus Christ alone. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul talks about that. I'm just going to preach Christ crucified, Christ crucified and him risen. That's all we're going to preach about. That's of first importance, he said. I preach about how Christ was crucified according to the scriptures and how he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Right? It's part and parcel. You need them both. But he says this. He says, because if Jesus isn't risen, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17 says this. If Christ has not been raised, then your faith is worthless, and you're still in your sins. I had an old professor in seminary say that the resurrection was God's stamp of approval on the sacrifice of Christ. In other words, Jesus, listen, our atonement was won on Good Friday. Our atonement was won on the cross. That's where my sin is paid for, right? Am I cutting it out? I don't know. All right, good. I don't know. That's where my sin. But if I don't have the resurrection, and if Christ is still in the ground, am I forgiven? Was it accepted? Did God, was that the full payment or not? See, Jesus' resurrection shows that indeed it was the full payment. Indeed, it was everything needed. It was sufficient to pay and to forgive our sins through the cross. And then secondly, not only does it show that the death of Jesus show that the cross was sufficient, Jesus' resurrection shows that death is defeated once and for all. That once and for all, death is gone. That when Jesus rose from the dead, it says in Scripture, he became the first fruits of others who would come, of others who would have faith in him. He would be the first fruits of those to rise again from the dead. It's interesting, in this last year, the reality is that we've been scared to death of death. You know, the one thing that COVID has exposed amongst everybody, Christians, non-Christians, is this fear of dying. Of if I get it, what's going to happen? I mean, and it's not just, I mean, nobody likes getting sick, right? Nobody likes getting sick. We all know somebody who's gotten sick. We all know people. We know people. Some of us have known people who have been like horrifically sick in the hospital for months, or certainly long, like 6-8 weeks, and thank God have come back out of the hospital. But we've also, I've known people. You probably have known people who've died. And when somebody gets COVID, there's like a, it's kind of like the cancer word today, right? There's this breath that gets sucked in, and we're afraid of death. We're afraid of it. But listen, if you have faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, listen to what 1 Corinthians says. It's too long to have on the board, but just listen to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54. He says, but when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? And then he agrees with what he says in Galatians. The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But he says, but thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks. The victory has been won. Jesus is not in the grave. He's alive. Christ, God has indeed accepted his sacrifice, and he is the first fruits of many. He's the first fruits of many who will come after those who trust and believe and have faith in him alone. And so I don't have to live on this earth. And I'm not saying, listen, I'm not saying not to be safe, right? We're still every other row, right? We're wearing masks. I get that. I like to say, I still wear a seatbelt, right, in my car. All right, safety is safety. That's good. But I don't, too many of us, and maybe all of us, have been tempted to be paralyzed by fear. Paralyzed by the fear of what may happen. Well, listen, if COVID were to take me today, what has it done for me? For those who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, it's ushered me into the kingdom. Jesus is alive, and the doors have been flung open for all who believe to go. I don't have to be afraid of dying. I don't have to be afraid of what might take me, because, by the way, it might not be COVID. You could walk out the door and get into a car accident and die. And the question is, what's going to happen? What system are you trusting in to believe in? So this is Easter, right? It's a victory time. And so I'm going to invite Michelle to come up, and Michelle's going to sing a song, a victorious song of life and of victory. And she's going to sing and of Christ's victory for us and us being alive. And I want you to think, and I want you to contemplate, and I want you to take some time during that time of her singing. And I want you to go before God, and I want you to kind of measure your life, if you can. And think about kind of what are you trusting in? What is your system? And I know that kind of makes it sound weird, but like, are you trusting in you? Or have you abandoned you, given up everything of you, and trusted in Jesus alone? So let's listen. Let's hear the victory, and then I'll come back up afterwards.